Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. Each week we tackle something that's about 10, 15 minutes, depending on how bad traffic is. Bumper to bumper is a good time for a brain dump. I should call this the Bumper to Bumper Brain Dump. Wow, that's a great name for a podcast. Anyways, each week we talk about things that you can put in play in your classroom. Quick, bite-sized, easy ones, so that real PD comes from the ground up and from like small ideas that we can germinate and then grow, rather than these top-down ivory tower versions of how to be a better teacher, which is all esoteric and fake. So this week we're changing the game, but not by talking about classroom stuff, rather by talking about understanding the people who come into our classroom. We'll get into that in a hot second. But first, some housekeeping notes. If you like what you're hearing, new podcasts every Monday. Feel free to like or subscribe or leave a nice comment. It helps other people find the podcast. Thanks for that. We can continue the conversation all week long on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU on Twitter. That's like my last name, Meehan, and EDU like teaching. And if you want resources or templates, anything else I can share with you, it's my website, www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline like educational adrenaline. Rush.com. And I have all sorts of multimedia and shareables there that you're welcome to use. And I would love to hear your thoughts about how they're working for your classroom. I also wrote a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush. It's about game-changing student engagement inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. If you like the sound of that, well then, let's hang out. Let's catch up. But this week, I want to talk about things that have nothing to do with teaching and everything to do with the students who come to our classroom. Because this past weekend, I had a chance to visit Portland, Oregon. And while I was there for the Council for Exceptional Children's annual conference, I had a chance to take in a Broadway show, touring company of the national, touring company, I guess it's called, of the Broadway show Dear Evan Hansen. If you haven't seen it, minor spoilers lie ahead for the first half of the podcast and major spoilers for the back half of the podcast. But a bit about that real quick. This Council for Exceptional Children is designed to offer support and inclusion for students who present with atypical learning needs. These could be students on the spectrum, students who receive expanded services, students who present with intellectual or cognitive delays, maybe students who are dealing with traumatic brain injuries or concussions or trauma, or students who just deal with systemic poverty or racism, or LGBT students. Like, there are a lot of ways to be, quote, exceptional. What we find is there's actually more exceptions than there are rules. And so maybe if we turn our classrooms into inclusive places where all students feel seen and supported, we can get ultimately closer to the goal of what education is, to reach every child in his or her own way, and to bring them forward not at the universal base for all persons, but for moving each child from his or her point A to his or her point B, whatever that might be. Again, one day at a time, one student at a time. But the conference was really, really cool, and I had a chance to talk about, again, like these exceptional learners, persons who just deal with things that make them feel outside or invisible or forgotten. And to cap it all off, we had a chance, a colleague and I took in the production of Dear Evan Hansen, which was playing that night. I think it was a closing night at the, I want to say it's a Keller Auditorium or the Keller Theater there in Portland. Big, like, opera house size place. It was very, very cool. And it was not my first time seeing the show. I had seen it twice on Broadway. I'm a geek for these sorts of things. If you haven't seen Dear Evan Hansen, minor spoilers up front, and then we'll get into the deep major spoilers. I promise I will warn you once before, so you can pause the podcast and like go check out the music or go read the book and then come on back. But minor spoilers up front. So Evan Hansen tells the story, or Dear Evan Hansen tells the story of a young boy named Evan Hansen. He's 17-ish years old, and he's a senior in high school. He doesn't fit in. He's socially awkward. He deals with anxiety and depression. He's medicated. At the start of the show, we see he has a broken arm, and he's going back to school, and his mom, Heidi, says, hey, get the kids to sign your cast. That'll be a good way to kind of make an icebreaker. But Evan has no friends, so he feels lonely, and he broke his arm in the summer, and he says when he fell and broke his arm, he laid there for 10 minutes, and no one picked him up. It's a really, really sad way to start our show. And so we're rooting for Evan to fit in, to blend in, but man, he feels like he's, as he says in the second song, waving through a window. He says he's always on the outside looking in. To compound this, Evan does not have the greatest of advantages at home. His mom, Heidi, is a single mom. Evan's dad left when he was 7. And she works as a nurse, and by night she goes to school to become a paralegal. So he's doing a lot of like latchkey kid stuff where he's raising himself. They don't have a lot of money. Though she loves him, she has a hard time connecting with him. And in his attempts to get better, you know, he is medicated. He sees a psychiatrist, who we don't ever meet in the show, but we know that the psychiatrist has assigned Evan homework to write himself affirmation letters that begin every day with, Dear Evan Hansen, today's going to be a good day, and here's why. and just little things like that to build his confidence, because he's really, really awkward around people and he doesn't feel comfortable just trying to talk to everybody, anybody. He says he has no friends. He has a crush on this girl named Zoe Murphy, who he feels totally invisible around. And even though there are a few kids in school who talk to him, he feels like they talk to him out of pity or out of guilt. And unfortunately, when we meet them in school, we find out that's pretty close to true. There are only 8 members of this cast. So that's our premise to kind of get started with some minor spoilers. I'm now going to sort of escalate into some major spoilers. So if this doesn't sound like it's for you, this is your last chance to tap out. Before I get to the major spoilers, though, what a beautiful way to talk about inclusive learning and exceptional learners. Already we have Evan, who deals with anxiety and depression, mental health issues. We have issues of coming from a single-parent household or a non-traditional household. And we have the fact that his family doesn't have a lot of money. That is like 4 or 5 or 6 different ways that a student can be made to feel invisible or awkward or othered. And already I'm so in, because in our classrooms, you can't do the Bloom's taxonomy stuff if you haven't reached the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And every one of the things we've just listed there is very Maslow in order to get our kids excited about just being safe at school. Now, not major spoilers yet, but it's coming. The people who are, quote, friendly with Evan in school consist of a girl named Alana, who is played by an actress of color, and a boy named Jared, who is... in the story, we learn he's Jewish. Jared says he's, quote, a family friend of Evan, not a real friend, and he only is Evan's friend so that his mom will pay for his car insurance. But Jared is a typical hacker, coder, kind of geeky kid, and he also doesn't fit in. Coupled with the fact that he is Jewish in a predominantly Christian school, we learn that other characters celebrate Christmas. So there's another reason why he's made to feel outside and exceptional. And Alana, as a student of color, in a cast that is otherwise exclusively white, does raise this idea of, you know, systemic racism, which doesn't go away, and people have been made to feel invisible, even though their experience is just as real as the person's beside them. Whether you're black or white, whether you're gay or straight, whether you're Jewish or Christian or Muslim, there's a lot of different ways that you can be made to feel included if you're around people who look and sound and believe like you do. It's very different if you're the only person in a group who doesn't fit in. And for Alana's sake, she's like a joiner. She wants to be the captain of every club and the, you know, the chair committee of every activity, because it's her way to sort of get a sense of who she is as a person. So she doesn't really see Evan as a friend. She sees him as a means to an end. She's trying to, you know, bolster her resume to get into a good college. And again, there's a lot of depth and nuance to that. But now for our major spoilers. Opposite these 4 characters, Evan, his 2 friends, and his mom, we have the 4-person family called the Murphys. Zoe, who Evan has a crush on, she's in the band, she's too cool, and Evan feels like he's invisible when he can't see her. Her brother, Connor, who is the school bully, they say his haircut is, quote, school shooter chic. So that's all you need to know about the size and shape of what he looks like. Connor, we know, struggles with depression as well and drug addiction. And he doesn't fit in. He feels that he has no friends and he's a loser, in his own words. And that's bad, because it sets us up for a very dark thing that this story will take a twist very quickly. And then Connor's parents, who we'll meet later on in the story, his dad is an attorney, and his mom is just trying to do the best that she can to raise her kids in a very difficult, very complex world with all these sort of pressures. But, so we have Evan comes into school on the first day, hopes to get his cast signed. No one will sign his cast. He sees Connor Murphy in the hallway, and Connor just does what Connor does, and while he's dealing with his own depression issues and drug issues, Connor knocks Evan over, and the whole school kind of sees it and laughs. So Evan sings us a song about how he feels lonely, how he feels he's on the outside looking in, and later in the day, he's writing himself a letter. Dear Evan Hansen, it's not going to be a good day. It's never a good day. This year's going to be just as bad as last year was. I pin all my hopes on talking to Zoe, and Zoe doesn't even know the real me. I feel like the world wouldn't even care if I disappeared. And as he's writing this letter, who does he bump into again but Connor, here in the computer lab? Connor feels a little bit of remorse for having knocked Evan over earlier in the day and says, hey, I noticed nobody signed your cast. I'll sign it. And so I don't know whether that's a kind act or like another inroad to bullying, but Evan allows it to happen real quick. And Connor, doing what Connor does, doesn't write it really small on a Sharpie. He writes it in size like 500 font. So Evan has just one name on his cast, and it says Connor real big. Evan's like, thanks, I guess. And it's really awkward because now he has to walk around advertising this other bully kid's name. And as Connor's walking out, he says, oh, I noticed on the printer there's a thing. You must have printed this out. And as he's taking this letter back, this Dear Evan Hansen letter, Connor reads the letter and believes it was written to sort of troll him, to make him feel bad, like, hey, the world's bad, no one notices me, oh yeah, I'm hoping that Zoe Murphy will notice me. He feels it's like Evan goading him or egging him on to freak out because he's, you know, has his violent tempers. And he says as much to Evan. He's like, do you think I'm some sort of freak? Are you trying to, you know, creep me out? Are you trying to, you know, say stuff about my sister? So he knocks Evan over again, or he brushes past Evan again. And that's the last we see of their interactions together. Poor Evan, right? Can't catch a break in the first part of our show. And it feels like he just wants to be normal. He wants to fit in. I talk about exceptional learners, and this is so powerful already because we're talking about kids who just try to get through the day, and this has nothing to do with math class or science class or English class, right? This is just what they're going through. Anyways, our story takes a very dark turn, and this is the majorest spoiler, so here you go. The very next day in school, where Evan's called to the principal's office, and there waiting for him is not Connor Murphy, but Connor's parents. Mr. and Mrs. Murphy are there, and they say to Evan, Connor wanted you to have this, and they hand to him back this note. Evan looks at it, and he's like, oh, you know, what's, why, because Connor didn't come out to school that day. He's kind of confused what's going on. We come to find out that Connor has taken his own life, and it happens off screen, so we don't really know the nature of the how and what and why behind it, but we know that Connor's last note that he had on his person was this note from Evan, and it was in his pocket when he died. So Connor's parents believe that this is a suicide note, and that he was reaching out to help from Evan. Dear Evan Hansen, it's not a good day, it's not a good life. I'm hoping to connect to Zoe, in this case, Zoe, his sister, but she doesn't even recognize me. I just feel like I should disappear. And this is awful. It's really, really sad, really heartbreaking. Evan, not wanting to get into it, but he's socially awkward, can't really back himself up fast enough, says, trying to extricate himself from this really difficult situation, at which point Mr. and Mrs. Murphy notice that Evan's cast says in giant letters, Connor. And now our story begins, where they believe that Evan and Connor were the very best of friends and never told anybody about it. And so all their interactions at school were really just a show for everybody else, because secretly they were best friends writing these notes back and forth to each other. And our story kicks into high gear for the rest of the show. So Evan, through the help of Jared, is able to backdate some emails and create a fake account where he looks as if he's written emails in correspondence with Connor over many, many months, about their secret friendship, and that they're both struggling, they're both trying to fit in. But after a few weeks, the school seems to be forgetting about Connor, and it feels sad. So Evan, with Alana and with Jared, decide to launch what they call the Connor Project, with the idea that no one deserves to be forgotten, no one should fade away. And the memory of this, you know, school bully, this tortured soul, then becomes like a poster boy for a social media campaign to make sure that students know that they are not ostracized, they are not lost, and that they can be found. There's a school assembly, and they give a speech, and Evan, in his social anxiety, gives this speech, and it doesn't go well. He drops his cue cards, and he kind of freaks out. But in that freaking out, it's all captured on video, and then it's shared on social media, where he does the best that he can to say, I'm just trying to get through, and Connor probably was going through the same things. Again, not trying to lie, but this lie is spinning out of control, and Evan becomes the center of a social media viral campaign, which now has tens of thousands of hits all over the world. And before you know it, Evan gets the girl, Evan gets the family he never had, Evan gets friends, Evan gets the popularity, Evan fits in, but it's all a lie. So I won't finish how the story ends, because it's really cool to watch it spiral out of control, and then to spiral back into control, and then out of control again. But I think it's a beautiful, painful, poignant story that goes in a bunch of different directions. We're talking about ableism. We're talking about students who deal with anxiety and depression. We're talking about difficulties with self-harm and suicidal ideations. We're talking about low-key, small issues of race and religion. We're talking about students who feel systemically forgotten by the school system, and then have these chances through social media to become like larger-than-life celebrities, to be seen, to be heard, which is the exact opposite of what their experience has been in the classrooms. And through all of it, you talk about the attraction of social media, but also the dangers of these curated versions of the stories that we tell. Because all this kid wants to do is fit in. And if it's promised to him, even though it's sort of false, he says in the second act, you tell yourself this lie because you want it to be true. And so you make it true. And you feel that everybody else wants it or needs it just a little bit. And so you do it. And I feel through all of this for every one of these characters. You have the Murphys, who are trying to grieve their son and their brother, who they know was not a great person. He was not a kind person. He was not a gentle person, or he was not a compassionate person. But now they're believing these wrinkles of, well, maybe there's more to the story and I just didn't know that about him. And they allow themselves to be misled because they need it in their hearts to sort of help heal. Meanwhile, I have Evan's mom, who's trying to hold on to her son when she has to work so much, while he's making inroads to this connection with his family, who he doesn't really know, but they're willing to, like, you know, welcome him in and almost like adopt him as their son, because there's a human connection there, even though it's based on a lie. But she's doing the single mom thing where she can't spend 2 minutes with her kid, and she's feeling lost and forgotten, right? Alana is feeling lost and forgotten and walked all over, that she's doing this for, quote, the cause. Evan is, in theory, doing this for, quote, the friendship. But we find out, you know, that Evan really doesn't have this friendship. And so Alana is, in some ways, a more pure character than Evan is. And Jared, somewhere along the way, goes from, like, this nerdy coder hacker kid who's, quote, a family friend, to someone who feels like he's on the outside looking in, because here he is helping to fabricate this lie, and he gets no credit for his behind-the-scenes role in helping these things kind of connect those dots. It's heartbreaking, it's sad, and it's beautiful. And without giving away the ending of the story, it's a lie that spins out of control through social media and through the lies that we have to tell ourselves when our students are exceptional. And I think that this is so powerful to maybe close the podcast out with. Like, we can't do the Bloom's taxonomy stuff before we do the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And if I've looked at anything from this show that I've taken away, it's that I don't know these stories of my kids before they walk into my classroom or when they leave my classroom. But there are issues of bullying, of self-harm, of suicide, of anxiety, of depression, of medication, of single-parent homes, of racial injustice, of religious intolerance, of just feeling like you don't belong, like you're invisible and forgotten. And how much more powerful can my teaching be if I come to class armed and empathetic for all of those things? Because ultimately, then, every child has a chance to be seen and be heard in the space that we can provide for them. That's the challenge. That's the job. I think it's absolutely worth checking out. The music for the show is fantastic. It's written by Pasek and Paul, who did La La Land and The Greatest Showman. So it's very poppy. It's very now. It's very cool. If you have a chance to check the show out when it's on tour through the U.S., highly, highly recommend it. If not, certainly stream it, because it's the music is really worth checking out. I know this isn't much about education, but I feel like it is, right? So I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, even if it is a long one with a lot of spoilers from a show you may not have seen. That's it for this week. Thanks so much. We'd love to hear more from you, and we'll talk next time. Thanks.